This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson, along with Amanda Vinicky, here in the lovely basement of the Illinois State Capitol, where the Illinois Press Room is, as we not only celebrate and honor on Memorial Day, but also this is the final scheduled weekend of the Illinois legislature, the never-ending end of session. And we're here to cover the action or inaction, whatever it may be. I've already done my part by just dumping a nice big cup of coffee all over the place. So we're off to a great start this morning.
Hey, it's early. All good.
Yes, it is. It's early, and I want to thank State Senator Kwame Raoul joining us this morning. Thank you for getting up, Senator. Very much appreciate it.
Good morning. How are you both?
We're getting there. We're getting started, as it were. much like I believe the members of the General Assembly as they prepare to return to action here in Springfield this afternoon. Senator, I wanted to get your take on the events of last week, the fact that we have had these bipartisan working groups over looking at various issues, seeing if there's some way to find some compromise on what these issues that the governor calls his turnaround agenda issues are. You have that going on. And then you have the House Democrats under Speaker Michael Madigan unveil this budget plan and just kind of say this is a take it or leave it kind of approach.
Well, I think we got to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Can I quote you on that?
You know, maybe we need to learn how to do a third thing, maybe toss a ball up in the air at the same time as well. But we need to learn how to do a couple of things at the same time. We're going into the end of a fiscal year, which we still haven't passed a full budget for, and approaching the next fiscal year, which we haven't passed a budget out of both chambers for. So, yes, we're engaged. I'm personally engaged every day, including yesterday and today, on discussions within working groups to try to resolve this impasse. But to the extent that we may not be successful, we need to be in a posture that we appropriate for all of the things that the citizens of Illinois expect us to fund. The timing may be such that you know, we don't resolve all the issues by the end of Tuesday. We're working hard at doing so, but it's complex because the governor has conditioned passing a budget on multiple issues that are customarily not attached to whether or not you pass a budget from year to year.
So when the House took its action, did that put a chill into these working group negotiations?
Not really. There was a lot of rhetoric outside of the working groups, and it did the way it occurred. It did bother folks, on both sides of the aisle. I do understand that the House wants to be in a position where we're not scrambling at the last minute to try to figure out how we pass a budget, and so they put out something that for folks to consider. That said, the working groups continue. Again, you know, we'd rather not be doing budgeting by hostage, you know, working on these issues. We've worked on these issues in the past. You know, I personally worked on a workers' compensation reform bill in 2011. It was not tied to the budget, yet we worked throughout a session on a daily basis to try to put together a package, and indeed it was a package that did result in savings. It was a package that the this governor's current workers' compensation chair indicated was an effective package that has reduced costs.
Now, well, I was going to say, is there progress being made in that workers' comp working group?
Absolutely. We're having good conversation. You know, I don't want to disclose any specifics, but we're having a good conversation. We're exchanging ideas. We're exchanging language. I think it's productive. But again, I'd rather not be in a situation where we're feeling we're doing it under the gun, because, you know, some of these issues can get rather complex and nuanced, and you don't want to force yourself to do it a certain way because you got to do it by a certain deadline.
You know, Senator Raul, you say that, and yet would any of these changes be made were they not, quote, being held hostage? If the, Governor Bruce Rauner weren't putting this out in front and making it contingent on a budget, would your party be willing to go along with some of these items?
In fact, many of the items were put in a bill that we passed last year. And again, I reiterate, 5 years ago, we did not have a governor, basically holding a gun to our head saying you got to do workers' comp reform. We passed a very comprehensive workers' comp package that, again, has reduced costs, that has been lauded by Governor Rauner's workers' comp chair. So we didn't have this notion that we had to do it in exchange for generating the revenue to pay for social services, for adequate education for our kids. It ought not be, well, let's do something to reduce the cost for the business community before we take care of our kids.
Well, in the past, in talking about that previous workers' comp package, and yes, there was some savings, but the complaint has been that the insurers aren't fully passing along those savings to employers.
Yeah, that has been a concern, and it's difficult to fully assess the extent to which that may be true, because there's a lot of proprietary information that you can't get access to to do the analysis. There's often the counter argument that, well, there are hundreds of workers' comp insurers competing, and the free market would drive down the cost. I don't know where the truth lies. We're examining what we can do to make the rate making done by insurance companies more transparent or more accountable, because we do want those costs passed on to employers at the end of the day. I mean, I share the governor's desire to make sure that we keep businesses in the state of Illinois, that we allow them to employ more people. However, I don't share the thought that we have to do certain things before we adequately educate our kids, before we pay for social, badly needed social services.
Well, and there's also that fine line, too, of, yes, not wanting to have extraordinary costs put on Illinois employers, but at the same time, to fairly compensate workers that are injured on the job.
Exactly, and that's where I was saying, you know, some of this is very nuanced. You change some language, and you could put folks in a position where they're legitimately injured on the job, and have no means to pay for their injury, and they're left out in the cold. We don't want to do that.
And that's kind of where both sides kind of meet, the employers and the Republicans and compensation and the Democrats.
Yeah, and let me say this. I mean, I've been working, I've been talking to some of the various groups that represent employers, and there's a diversity of perspectives within that group. And I think there are some who are more amenable to doing something that will reduce costs, but that is not, reducing the benefits to hardworking employees.
We're speaking with Kwame Raoul, State Senator, a Democrat from Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson, along with Amanda Vinicky. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson alongside Amanda Vinicky from Illinois Public Radio, WUIS-FM, and we're broadcasting this morning from the beautiful basement press room of at the Illinois State Capitol on this, the final scheduled weekend of the Illinois spring session. Joining me on the phone is State Senator Kwame Raoul, State Senator from Chicago, Democratic State Senator. And, Senator, I want to go back to the issue of the budget. And we talked about there was the House bill that passed. Senate President John Cullerton has talked about a more short-term kind of stopgap budget bill that would cover a period of months but allow these kind of working group talks to begin. Steve Brown, a spokesman for Speaker Madigan, says that the Speaker does not plan to partner with the Senate President in that. Where do things stand?
You know, the one common thing about the end of May is things are always fluid. You never know how what is said on one day may shift to something else, or what is said in 1 hour within a day may shift to something else a few hours later. So, you know, conversations continue. You know, again, the House passed out this budget bill. We as a Senate passed out a couple of funding measures to make sure that there's more equitable funding to education. So there are a lot of moving parts to these discussions. And so with, you know, a couple of days left, 3 days left, you know, in many places that may seem like a very short time, but in Springfield that can be an eternity.
Would you vote for the budget that House Democrats passed and have sent to the Senate? Could that be the budget that is sent to Governor Rauner?
It depends on the circumstances and, you know, other moving parts. I'm not fond of doing it that way, but I'm not fond of leaving Springfield without an appropriation package to make sure that Governor Rauner has the option of making sure that needed services, education, and government functions are appropriately funded.
Well, how much is the fact about education funding? How much of that is truly the kind of the pressure point?
It's a huge pressure point, and you know, unfortunately, some of the Republicans have engaged in characterizing an effort to create equity in funding, which, you know, amongst many professionals who have embraced this notion of evidence-based funding, has been a very bipartisan or nonpartisan effort. Senator Lightfoot advanced a bill that was a sort of a hybrid and included elements of a bill that Senator Andy Menar had previously filed, but it also included what some of the Republican legislators had been calling for in this evidence-based model that makes sure that their education criteria used to determine the need of the respective school districts. And it was embraced by the administrators who have spent years developing this process. Unfortunately, the same people who said, the same one person in particular who said they would embrace the bill if we put this onto it, you know, almost filibustered and trying to explain why they were going back on their word.
Well, isn't it a fact that given the financial problems that exist with the Chicago public schools, I mean, let's face politics here. It's easy when you take a look at CPS and its money problems, it's easy for people to say anything you try to do regarding school funding is going to somehow be phrased and posited as a bailout for Chicago.
And that's unfortunate. You know, although that I although I represent a district that's entirely within the city of Chicago, I don't turn my back on school districts throughout the state. So what's important to note about that bill is that it also addressed concerns in poor districts and suburban areas, as well as in downstate areas. And so this notion of it, of people just like little robots following the governor's talking point that it's a Chicago bailout, is really unfortunate, because as responsible legislators, they're not only tasked with representing the school children in their district, but they're tasked with making sure the school districts, the school children throughout Illinois, are provided with an adequate education. And it's not unconscionable that they would be turning their back on the school children in the city of Chicago, as well as school children in many poor districts in the suburban areas, as well as downstate areas.
I also wanted to ask you, too, on Friday afternoon, we had the governor veto a bill that would kind of change the funding timing for Chicago police and fire pensions, something that Mayor Emanuel was desperately looking for. And now you have basically had very harsh words coming from the mayor towards the governor, as far as, you know, basically sticking taxpayers with a $300 million property tax increase.
Yeah, I think, and I don't recall all of the exchange that occurred when we passed the measure, but the sense was that this would not be something that the governor would do. And this, that's the bothersome thing about negotiations. And, you know, you got to feel that there's going to be some consistency. And sometimes it appears that there's inconsistency that makes one wonder about the reliability of you know, representation. So
are you saying the lack of trust factor with the governor?
Yeah, that clearly exists, and it's frustrating. It makes it makes negotiations and resolving impasse very challenging.
When you look at the whole comprehensive picture of the things, these working groups and the issues they're looking at, the issue of the budget, the fact of the need for more revenue, I mean, it seems to me, and we know how the game works here in Springfield, that it's invariably trade-offs of different things to get things. And it seems like the working groups seem to be working, you know, in isolation of the budget groups. And in the end, it really does tie together, regardless of the fact that, you know, as you said, you don't like the fact that it's like a hostage taking. But for major legislation, there are always those kinds of trade-offs. And if these people are acting in isolation, I mean, Tim Newting, the governor's budget director, on a conference call was saying he couldn't really, you know, other than say that the House version was woefully underfunded, he couldn't attach that to progress being made by the working groups.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you know, yes, there are usually trade-offs within negotiations, and certainly that occurred, you know, 5 years ago when we negotiated work comp reform, for example. You know, but those are usually in the context of just negotiating something on that one subject matter. What we have here is, you know, a declared necessity to negotiate legislation on several subject matters in order to get a budget. And so it's difficult to know when you're within a particular negotiation when you're willing to take the next step, because it's tied to several other simultaneous negotiations, and that's why you shouldn't want to tie so many things to a budget, because it makes the particular negotiations very difficult.
That's State Senator Kwame Raoul, State Senator Democrat from Chicago. Senator, thanks so much for getting up with me this morning.
I appreciate you having me on.
We'll be back with more right after this.